Yeah, we're supposed to record our shows remotely. I just realized, like, as I was saying that I hadn't recorded this show, although I've just started recording it now. So maybe that'll work. Anyways, last week's show was recording, and so there should be a way to get that archive up there. And I just haven't figured exactly how. So if you're really curious as to what happened last week, it was a good show with the Pizza Johnnies and stuff. It should be back up. And I appreciate people listening to the archives. Whew, okay. This is, Pizza Johnny says, enough with the dainty little bong hits. How about some big, huge chokers? Oh, my God. And he sent this picture of this really enormous bong that he has in his home. Wow, that is a big bong. It's a glass bong. And I'm guessing it is like a 3-footer. Is that what that is? it has like different chambers. Wow. Do you ever put ice in it? It looks like it has like the ability to sort of like hold the ice. Anyways, yeah, that's quite a bong. I haven't done a bong hit in general in a really long time. But a bong hit like that, I have not. Bong hits used to be like our like mode of choice for smoking weed when I grew up in the 80s and 90s. In part because they were very efficient and we didn't have, like now people have, weed is just abundant now, but back then, especially if you were like a high school kid or a college, you wanted to conserve your weed. Like you'd buy it like an eighth of weed. And if you rolled, you know, how many joints can you roll from an eighth? You know, like depending on the size, like maybe four or five, or maybe two or three if you roll big fat joints. And they're gone. So an eighth doesn't last you very long. But if you use a bong, you can make an eighth can last you like quite a while. So that was one thing. We also like really enjoyed the like quick rush of like high that you get from doing a bong hit. It is just a much stronger like poof, feeling as opposed to just like sort of, now that I'm older, I think I like the more civilized means of like kind of smoking a J or a pen or whatever. So bong hits aren't as much in my rotation. Are you smoking that bong right now as we speak? I feel like I would get wicked high if I smoked that. Okay. I think now would be a good time to take a break. I've been talking for, 38 minutes now. Please keep your texts coming. If you want to text this show, it's 971-220-5979. 971-220-5979. Put that number in your phone. Just keep it handy. We're on until 11 o'clock tonight. We've been talking about that basketball this first part of the show and like a little bit of weed, but we like to talk about sex and drugs. We do talk about it in an adult way. So if you have young children listening or you don't like those kinds of discussions, we're on till 11. But please stick around if you do. Put the kids to bed, put on some headphones, light up that joint. This is your invitation to just chill out with the radio for a while. And please don't be shy. Text us, okay? 971-220-5979. I'll read these two texts and then we're going to take a break. Three texts actually came in. This says, there isn't much tax revenue since there is no sales tax in Portland. I could be wrong though. Well, that's also a good point. Yeah, you don't get sales tax. So that is, you're right about that. You know, it's the idea that like people come in, they stay in hotels, they go out to eat and all this stuff. If you have a sports team, like people come from out of town to go to a Blazers game, which certainly does happen. Do they only come because the arena has like VIP suites and all that? You know, I don't think that's true. And also, you know, P- Portland has a sports team, like to threaten to like yank the team out or if you don't get, you know, if you don't get basically just payments into that benefit you, that's, I understand it's legal. I understand that like other teams have done it and it's kind of the way of the NBA, but I think there are examples of teams putting in money. Okay. It's not unprecedented. In fact, I think it's more unprecedented to have team put in zero money as this guy's suggesting. And, even so, I just think Portland, like, you know, I think cities need to kind of put their foot down and be like, we're spending money that is, honestly, it should be going to the public schools. It should be going to maintain the parks. It should be going to, run the city in all the ways that make it a hospitable place for an NBA team. That's where that money should go. It shouldn't be going to build luxury suites and upgrade whatever they feel needs to be upgraded in the Motor Center. Okay. Liesl here, and then I'll talk less and listen more, she says. Night Hike plays Swan Dive tomorrow night. Kind of reminds me of pre-MTV Friday Night Videos, early New Wave sound. Oh, I like that. Play with the True Primitives, who I reckon you would like. Last thing, I listen to the archive. Oh, good. I love hearing that people do listen to the archive. Sometimes I'll listen to the archive. So, and I will try to get the archive. So apparently the shows aren't being recorded in the traditional way. So we are trying to record the shows. I really love that people listen. And one of my goals, honestly, for this show at some point would be to, create it more as like it would be a podcast where you know, we do the show each week and then we have to take out the music and I think you have to kind of like, polish it up a little bit and then just put it so you could find it on, you know, your podcast platform instead of having to go to X-Ray as you do now. Now it's kind of a little bit of a scavenger hunt to find it. This is Pizza Johnny says it's day 9 of dry July, so I do need to get wicked high. Okay, so you're not drinking alcohol. Were you not drinking one? I saw you in July. I guess you weren't drinking. This says, what if we offer him a high interest short term loan? Then we can repo the team if he doesn't pay. Yeah, that's an interesting idea. And then this text that also came in says, I just wish the owner of a local sports team loved that team and loved the city. If that was the case, this wouldn't be a problem. He'll make a profit either way. I totally agree. That was well put to that text. That's exactly, I think, and I don't think that's too much to ask. I'm not trying to be all hippy dippy and say that he should like run the team as a nonprofit to benefit, you know, local services to the needy in Portland or something like that. He can make his money. You would hope that the owner, especially of a team like the Portland Trailblazers, which has been the pillar of sports in this city for years, that you would hope that the owner cared about that, which he clearly just doesn't seem to even, he has not shown that he cares about it if he does. So yeah, there you go. I totally agree. Well put. Pizza Johnny says, we were drinking fake beers. Slingshot has a decent variety of non-alcoholic beers. I see. I didn't even know. You fooled me. This texter says, it's basically what Paul Allen was. He loved the team. He wasn't worried about making money. Yeah, I mean, and I don't begrudge the owner of a team from making money. I don't think they should operate it at a loss to benefit everybody else. Like, you know, I don't think that's realistic. I think they're, you know, I don't think that needs to be done. But I do think when you own a sports team, there's more to it than just squeezing every dollar out of the franchise that you can. that just feels like you are taking advantage. You're monetizing the passion of the fans, and you're asking them, well, how much do you love this team? Because I want all your money up to the point where you finally say, you know what? It's too much money and I don't love this team. He's like trying to find that point, and he's threatening to leave the city if the city doesn't pay up. And I think that's wrong. I just think that's an immoral way to act. And, just because it's legal doesn't mean it should be condoned or encouraged or rewarded by the city of Portland. And I hope he gets frustrated and sells. That's what I hope. Okay. Thanks for letting me talk that through. Okay. Let's play some music. Okay. I was talking about Blitz and Trapper, so let's do that. Blitz and Trapper and Friends are playing Friday night, July 10th. And by the way, I will play Liesl's, suggestion, for their music. It's, another break. I have to find the music first. So, Blitz and Trapper and Friends are playing, at Topaz Farm, tomorrow night. And so Topaz Farm is on Sobey Island. It's like a place where I think you can pick blackberries and probably blueberries and strawberries, maybe still. Great berry picking in Portland this time of year, or in Oregon. And if you haven't been out to Sobey Island and Topaz Farm, it's a killer place to spend the day, go swimming, whatever. And then Blitz and Trapper is an amazing band. So, this is, kind of their big hit song, but they have a bunch of great songs, and this song is just truly great. So it's called Black River Killer. And when we come back, we'll talk more.
It was just a little while past the Sunset Strip that found the girl's body in an open pit. Her mouth was sewn shut, but her eyes were still wide, gazing through the fog to the other side. They booked me on a whim and threw me deep in jail with no bail, sitting silent on a rusted pail, just gazing at the marks on the opposite wall, remembering the music of my lover's call, yeah. So you make no mistake, I know just what it takes to pull a man's soul back from heaven's gates. I've been wandering in the dark about it long and thin, but they say it's never too late to start again. Oh wind, hear the spirit come a-calling from my soul to send. Oh wind, with the keys to the kingdom be mine again. It was dark as the grave, it was just about three, when the warden with his key came to set me free. They gave me $5 and a secondhand suit, a pistol and a hat and a worn-out flute. So I took the bus down to the Rio Grande, and I shot a man down on the edge of town. Then I stole me a horse and I rode it around, till the sheriff pulled me in and he set me down. He said, you make no mistake, I know just what it takes to pull a man's soul back from heaven's gates. I've been wandering in the dark about as long as sin, but they say it's never too late to start again. Oh wind, will the spirit come a-calling from the soul to sin? Oh wind, give the keys to the kingdom, be mine again. Well, the sheriff let me go with a knife and a song, so I took the first train up to man that I came upon, 'cause the devil works quick, you know it don't take long. Then I went to the river for to take a swim, you know that black river water, it's as black as sin. And I washed myself clean as a newborn babe, and I picked up a rock for to sharpen my blade. Oh wind, will the spirit come and call it from my soul to sin? Black river water wash me clean again. Oh wind,
X-Ray FM is proudly supported by our friends at the Portland Mercury. The current City Guide issue is available at over 500 locations in the PDX metro area and everywhere online at portlandmercury.com.
Okay, okay, hello, hello, hello. We are back. This is Sex, Drugs, and Basketball. That was Blitz and Trapper with Black River Killer. They're playing at Topaz Farm tomorrow night out on Sylvia Island. It's Blitz and Trapper and Friends, so that you know that'll be cool. Blitz and Trapper's a local Portland band. Great band. Okay. We've been having just like a scintillating discussion about the Portland Trailblazers arena. This show is called Sex, Drugs, and Basketball. If you stumbled onto it, you never heard it before. We usually talk more about sex and drugs than basketball, but tonight basketball has been the main topic, and I appreciate people indulging me in that. But we can move on to sex and drugs now if you want. Please, either way, text me at 971-220-5979. That's 971-220-5979. We love it when people text us. If you've never texted the show before, just introduce yourself. Tell us what you're doing. I'm always curious what people are doing. If you have an opinion about the Blazers arena, share it. But also we were gonna, you know, I was gonna try to like transition into some, I actually wanted to talk some drug talk because I saw a friend of mine, who I hadn't seen in a while, and he was like, and this wasn't the first person I've had this experience with. He started telling me how he had recently smoked toad venom. That's what he called it, toad venom. I guess it's, you know, it's what DMT is synthesized out of, from or something like that. But it's the toad venom drug, whatever that is. And he said it was like a crazy experience, like sort of like a nightmare. And he did it with a shaman and everything and in a basement in a house somewhere. And he said it like really changed his life, that it's made him like a more accepting and peaceful person. And I was like really like affected by that. Like, because I'd met this other, I knew this other friend of mine who talked the same way about it, was like kind of the same thing. He was like, I smoked this toad venom and I'm like, I feel like I saw God. And I don't know, does anyone else know people that have done this and what this is? And like, are there some people who smoke it and don't feel that way? Or, the toad venom. I just was like really interested in that, and whether anyone else had that experience. Text me, 971-220-5979. That's 971-220-5979. Whatever you text, whether it's on that subject or not, I will read it out loud over the radio. It'll go out to dozens of people, and they will hear your thoughts. This is your chance. This is your chance to put your mark on the day here. Tell us how you feel. Send us a joke if you have any jokes. I'm always in need of new jokes. And whenever I hear a new joke, a good joke, I always like make a point to try to remember it so I can tell it on this radio show. And then I forget. I've heard a couple jokes recently and I've forgotten them. I have a terrible memory for jokes, but I love it when people share a good joke on this radio show. Okay. This texter, this is, Liesl says, do people see God with DMT? I don't know. I feel like the DMT smokers, like their experience is not as profound as the people who say they actually are smoking the toad venom, like doing the actual toad venom. I don't know exactly what there's a difference between DMT and toad venom. Don't ask me to explain what it is. But yeah, they don't. It's the people who've like really like gone for the source. Yeah, I don't know. But there are people who say when they smoke DMT, they have some sort of like perspective on the universe in some way. I don't know. I haven't had that experience myself. I have done psychedelic drugs, but I have not had been like, I see God. I feel like sometimes when I've done, mushrooms that, I feel like I'm like tuning into a frequency of nature sometimes. Like if you do mushrooms and you're out in the forest or, you know, the mountains or wherever, and you're like really sort of immersed in nature, I feel like you have a good mushroom trip. It can really be like that. It's like you're like tuned into that, you know, that thing. Emily Hempson just showed up. This is actually the first way. This is one of those that sometimes this happens on the show where like, nobody shows up for quite a while. So I was just talking by myself for a while. Emily's here. Here, do you want to grab a headphone?
I feel like the number one fan, despite
I'm glad to see. I actually saw Emily and I saw each other earlier today. So here, wait, test that mic out.
Hello. Oh my God! Listen to my voice. It's very intense.
Yeah. I saw you earlier. We walked my dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then did you stay down by the river?
I did. I spent many hours there. Yeah.
It was a beautiful day. Like so, I like to my day. If I can, if it's a good day, I like to like take my dog, especially in this weather, like down to the river and hang out. And so then you met me down there, and that's what we did. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful sunny day, and she like swam and barked a lot. okay, so we've been. Did you listen to any of the show?
I did listen on the way over. Had things in my head that I forgot, but then you were talking about something. What were you just talking about?
I was talking about mushrooms and nature.
And before that, you were talking about the frog.
Oh, the toad venom.
That's not like ayahuasca. Then that's just
those are two different things. Although I think there's a similarity there.
Mm-hmm.
Ayahuasca is like people are having like really very profound experiences on that too.
Yeah.
And they are. I think ayahuasca is how they're curing addiction or something. That's the one that like Joe Rogan like went into Trump's office and got him to like legalize it as a drug treatment. I may be mixing this up, so someone correct me if I'm wrong. But no, toad venom is different. I think I've only known three people that have done it, but all three people who did it have the same report, which is that they kind of like feel like their like perspective on life was shifted and they feel more content.
I feel like that's what you say about all drugs on the show. I'm like, I want to do all drugs. No,
but that's not
toad.
I don't think that is the case with like any drugs, like that you really actually feel profoundly like changed. I just think they're recreationally fun. Like mm-hmm. I would say that about LSD. I think it's like if you do really good LSD, and I know that's like I'm saying this because Emily's like every
like,
time she comes on the show, everyone tries to get her to take LSD.
I'll do it. Give it to me.
But no, I just think it's a recreational. I don't think it like changes the way that you see the world. I mean, I think.
Oh, what? That's what I was expecting.
I mean, the way hearing like a good song changes it may be a little bit, but this is like the way people talk about the toad venom is more profound than that. Like it's like really somehow like they just feel like they saw some part of the universe that I don't know. It's very, I'm going to have my friend Max actually come on and talk about it. Because I was really interested to hear him say this. And I was surprised that I didn't realize he was like the kind of guy to do that even. Okay. Let me read some more text. This says, yo, Adam the writer here. I snapped this pic the other day. I didn't know Bunny hits up Woodstock. I'd come by, but I'm post tennis. Wait, I didn't know Bunny hits. Oh. Oh, I see. I get it now. I was like, I didn't it's like sort of graffiti on a wall that says Bunny. That's on Woodstock. Although Bunny, who's on the show, Bunny is a listener of the show, spells her name B-U-N-N-I. So it's different than that Bunny, which is B-U-N-N-Y. Adam, I was going to say Adam and I have been trying to play tennis, just hanging out with all these people. How did you do in your tournament? I know that Adam was playing in a tennis tournament, recently. Did you win? Okay. Then we've also been talking about the arena. Jenda Bone says, Emily, you two have great banter. Oh, this wasn't about the arena.
Oh, well,
there you go.
That's great. I love that. Yes.
Yes, we do. Well, Emily's here now. And were you doing, did you do an open mic?
I went to it. I was a little late. Uh-huh. Apparently the room was really empty. Everyone was like, it's really bad. So I was like, I don't want to go down there. I'm not going to go into the basement with like four people, which sometimes I enjoy, but yeah. So I didn't go down, but I did talk to enough people that then.
So you didn't actually do it.
I didn't do it tonight. No, I didn't.
Because it was like, no, there was just no one there.
Just
it was
no
like
one
bad
there.
Scene.
Kind of a weird night, I think. Because uh-huh. actually someone else was on the show and they were like, there's no one. There were four uh-huh. people there. You know, it's kind of, uh-huh. maybe we just don't want to be indoors watching stand-up comedy.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I was thinking, I think it's such a nice night out. Like, it's so, it's like, you know, we're on, it's so warm and nice that I would have thought more people. There's a lot of people out here at the Slingshot Lounge. But sometimes, usually I feel like this is the kind of night where, like, people wander in. And I should say, if you're listening to the show and you're anywhere near the Slingshot Lounge, I'm here for another hour. So if you want to say hi, you are encouraged to do that. We always love it when, maybe we should try to get some people in the bar. We can, like, try to accost them as they walk by.
Mm-hmm.
More text messages. Ms. Pizza Johnny says, I'm pretty sure, is this Miss Pizza Johnny? I think it is. It says, I'm pretty sure your friend and I did a similar ceremony. The active chemical in toad venom is 5-MeO-DMT. It is much, much stronger trip than the N-DMT that people vape. Is this Miss Pizza Johnny? Just want to make sure. Yes, I believe this is Miss Pizza Johnny. So you have done a similar ceremony. Yes, that is exactly what you're describing there, that with the 5-MeO-DMT, that is what he was talking about. So did you have this experience? Because he was like, kind of like, I was like, wow, you're like kind of a changed person because of this. Like, I knew him before, and it's not like he's like radically different, but he just did have this look on his face, like he was kind of like, it's all chill. I'm not going to worry about anything anymore, which I thought was like kind of amazing.
Some toads.
So Ms. Pizza Johnny, did you have that experience with this drug? It says, what happens when the toad gives you the venom? I believe the toad venom is like, it's in these like glands of a certain toad in South America that you have to get it to secrete. Like, I don't know why it's in those glands so that predators don't eat it or something like that, but like somebody figured out that they could like get that whatever that was, that stuff is that's in it. It's called toad venom, and then you smoke it somehow and then you have this like really crazy experience, like really and so that's as much as I know about it, basically. The first time I tripped, which this same texter is saying, the first time I tripped, which was on LSD, it definitely changed the way I saw the world. One thing, it loosened my mind up to engage in free association in a way that never happened before. Okay. Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, I do think there's obviously like LSD does do that. I just, this sounds more profound to me, if that makes sense. And then it says, did you write new material since your old jokes about the water park? Oh, is this
those
for you?
Just off the cuff. Those are off the cuff.
Oh yeah, you
never
were
repeated them.
That's right. Last week when Emily was here, you had sort of like a a negative experience in McMinnville because you made fun of their water park.
Yeah, which is a ridiculous water park. It still is. I stand behind that.
And then we learned that there it's actually like a CIA front or something like that.
Something. Which, I mean, I am like, what if they were like, we're just looking Google keywords for CIA aviation McMinnville. We're going to die. Yeah. It is connected. The guy was connected to it, but I don't know like actual real details, you know? Like, he seemed like someone who was involved in this.
Is the water park still open? That's what I was trying to remember. It's not.
It's called Wings and Waves.
Wings and Waves. There's not some issue with it. I thought there was something.
Oh, actually, I have no idea. There could be.
I'm gonna check during a break because I thought I feel like I heard. I may just be dreaming it or something. There was some problem. It wasn't able to be open right now. Okay. This is Liesl saying Toad Venom's spiritual conversion. Yeah, that's what it feels like, if that's what you mean. Okay, and then Mrs. Pizza Johnny says, the thing that was cool, but yet also could be scary for some people, was that it was like my brain was reset. I had to relearn everything again. I had to learn what sounds were, what shapes were, who people were, etc. It came back very quickly, but it was like learning things for the first time again. It was kind of cool. That sounds kind of freaky, though. Come on.
Sounds horrible. That actually sounds like a nightmare. That really worked against it for me.
Yeah, so this is like you woke up from your experience and you were like, I don't know anything. I have to learn everything. But you learned it all very quickly. Is that the way you picture this? No, well, I see it that, yeah, the way my friend Max described it also, he didn't describe it like that. He just said it was like, I forget, he said something about it was like a nightmare into a void, to me was like, oh, okay. So you say don't recommend it. And he was like, no, it was like amazing experience. I feel like it changed me for the better. And like, I was like, wow. But I couldn't quite. I still can't quite picture. I'm still kind of trying to understand. That's why I was bringing it up, which I appreciate you, Ms. Pizza Johnny. If you can keep explaining, I'm learning more here.
This horrifying experience.
This horrifying experience. Okay. Let me take a break and say hi to Emily. Oh yeah, I totally forgot to do the station ID at 10 p.m. It is, you're listening to X-Ray FM. At KXRY Portland at 107.1 and 91.1 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm, as well as on the coast in Manzanita, Nehalem, Wheeler, Rockaway at 91.7 FM. Shout out to the coastal listeners. It's probably a great night to be on the coast. Please text us, 971-220-5979. All right, I am going to take a break. I was going to try to find Liesl's recommendation, but let me play one more. This is a band who are playing on, Marcus King Band is playing on Wednesday, July 15th. So it's in next week, but, I think I'm going to go to the show. I really like this band. He's just like a good like southern rocker. Like he's really got like the southern rock thing going. So he's playing, and I love the Roseland. So this is Marcus King, Goodbye Carolina.
I dreamed of the day when I'd hold you in my arms again, read you all the letters I wrote, never sent. Give you all the pieces of me, put them back together put them back together again. Life has a way of writing a story for you, and the hero doesn't always get his girl. What if you could change the end to the novel they've been writing, leave no resolution? Goodbye, Carolina. Searched my whole life to find you. Hate to leave you, but I hope you know where I'm going, I'll be seeing you. So hold my hand as I'm leaving. Hope my pain would be enough reason. See you on the other side of the blue red sky. Now I'm going, here to take him back.
X-Ray FM is supported by Slingshot Lounge. Located in southeast Portland on the corner of 56th and Foster, Slingshot Lounge offers an expansive game room, scratch cocktails, and a craft kitchen with a full menu until 2 a.m. Happy hour available weekdays from 3 to 7, and brunch weekends from noon to 4. Slingshot Lounge, decentralizing Portland since 2007.
Hello, hello, hello. We are back. This is Sex, Drugs, and Basketball. My name is Arthur Bradford, and if you're listening on Thursday, July the 9th, 2026, you've tuned into a live broadcast of this radio show, the only radio show that is broadcast live from the back porch of the Slingshot Lounge, where I'm sitting with Emily Hempson,
hello,
Portland comedian, and we're taking text messages. People have been sending them in. We've been talking about the toad venom drug for a while, and psychedelics and how, whether they change you. let me read those texts. I feel like we've done a good job of, like, so the beginning of the show, this show is called Sex, Drugs, and Basketball, if you've never heard it before. And we talked about basketball in the first part of the show, and then we've been talking about drugs, and so I feel like we should talk about sex, and then we'll really, like, have been following our plan here. But first, let me finish up on these drug texts that people have sent. It says, I had a friend who used to visit Oregon who sold aviation parts for a Long Island company, and he told me that Evergreen Aviation was often employed by the government enemy. One thing that has been established is that they were chartered to facilitate the Shah's escape from Iran during the 1979 revolution. Really? Does that make sense to you?
I mean, I don't feel like I know enough, but it feels sketchy. It feels correct for it.
Okay, Evergreen Aviation is the company that the guy from McMinnville owned. That was his company. And then it went under, or he sold it or something, and then he started this aviation museum out in McMinnville, which is a very bizarre place. I mean, not that bizarre in that he has a lot of space, so the Spruce Goose is there, and there's a plane that says Evergreen Aviation there. But this texter is claiming that that it has been established that they were chartered, they chartered Evergreen Aviation to facilitate the Shah's escape from Iran? Interesting. Okay.
I mean, I believe it.
The plot thickens. Jenda Bones says, LSD changed me a lot. I went from kind of slinking around in the dark to really appreciating the sun. I also thought I saw connections between all things. To me, back then, if everyone took LSD, there would be true peace on Earth. People had... Someone just said, amen, brother. Let me finish. People had threatened to dose water supplies. I don't promote that, but it made some sense to me back when I was tripping.
This is LSD propaganda.
I did see an interview with the Grateful Dead, they were being interviewed in their, house on Haight-Ashbury where they, sort of started there. And it was like a 60 Minutes thing. It was like, this is the band, the hard rock band, the Grateful Dead. And they believe that if everyone took drugs, the world would be a better place. And they interviewed them. And they were saying that, Jerry Garcia and Phil Lesh, the bass player, was like, yeah, I think if everyone turned on, the world would there be more... like peace and harmony in the world. And I don't know, I like that's sort of a strange thing to say. Like, I'm not sure I totally believe that, but maybe.
Maybe someone should dose the water. We should just see how it goes.
I think if you dose the water, I think you would have more. I think, you know, LSD is a very positive experience for people who want to be taking it and they find themselves in the right environment and it can be just like really awesome. But like if you just dose the water supply, I'm not sure everyone would just be like, ah, I love this. Suddenly I'm tripping. I don't think that's a good idea. I vote against that. This is Liesl says, Emily, I love your McMinnville story and I'll be at the show in August at Helium.
Yay. Message me. I can put you on the list.
Yeah. So that's right. So Emily, you are performing in the Portland's Funniest People contest, which kind of goes on all summer, right?
It's been going on since June. It's going to go on till the end of August.
And tell us how it works. Like, what happens?
There's a voting round.
Uh-huh.
Where there's, 14, 15 comedians. And everyone has, 3 to 4 minutes. And then the audience just votes on the top three that go through. And there are, 20 of those shows. There's so many. And then... after that round, and I think there's 2 more rounds, but those ones have less to do with voting. But the first one is just primary voting. Uh-huh. So everyone should come and watch me on August 4th.
August 4th. And how long is your set?
Only 4 minutes.
4 minutes.
Yeah.
So and then
also I have 10 comps. I have 10 comps. I probably have 6 comps,
But it's it's all about getting stacking the audience. I mean, if you can get a lot of people that you know to go and they all vote for you, then you're gonna win, whether or not you're funny or not.
Yes, it's always very interesting. Uh-huh. Sometimes someone will go through and you're like, oh, they had a lot of friends. I went to one once though where this guy had 30 people come for him. Uh-huh. And he did not make it through. Ah. And I was like, oof, that's worse, you know?
Yeah.
If you bring that many people, but...
I wonder if, like, they put their finger on the scale sometimes where they're like, this person just wasn't funny enough to go through.
Someone's just sitting there and they're so like, if it's this guy, yeah, absolutely not.
They just even though they stack the audience, they still don't get through. Yeah. Well, I think we should stack the audience for
yes,
Emily,
please,
guys.
Do
let's get
even
like,
if I'm not funny, just please vote for me. I don't care how I get there.
That would be great. I feel like it would be, you know, we'd feel a special pride in that. So yeah, I think, put it in your calendar. August 4th. Is that what you said?
Yes.
What night of the week is that?
I have no
I hope it's
idea.
Not Thursday night. Because that's when we
then
do this
show.
You'll
have to record from Helium. I don't think it's a Thursday.
We'll do it live during Emily Henson's comedy
yes.
set.
I don't think it's a Thursday.
Well, Emily looks that up. Oh, and then Liesl also said, hey, I heard about Evergreen and the Iran part. So you're saying that you've heard this story before, that this is an actual truth. I'm going to look it up during the break.
The guy okay. was intimidating. Dell. Was that his name? Dell. I think it was.
Dell?
Maybe not. But yeah, Dell.
Wait, did you find the day of the week?
Oh, yes, it's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday.
Yes.
There you go. No one's doing anything on
exactly.
it. You have no excuse to not go.
That's the best. I won't wear my skirt. I'm going to wear pants because I want you to think I'm a boy.
okay. This is this Gender Bones? Wait, I believe this is Gender Bones. Oh, no, this isn't Gender Bones. Who is texting this that said, don't wear your skirt? And they also said, I've had a couple of bad LSD trips. It's no fun and it's nothing to joke about. I got no respect for people dosing people unaware. Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, we were just joking. You're right. But I don't think it's funny. I don't think people should do that. Because yeah, I do think, especially if someone's in sort of a fragile mental state and they were to get dosed, I think it would be a really bad experience. Okay. This is Liesl saying, I'm saying I heard it. I don't know if it's actual truth. About the Evergreen and Iran. Did you mean you heard it, you just heard it right now, or you've heard it in some, you've heard it other people talking about it? And then Liesl says, microdose the water supply, question mark? I don't know. I don't believe in drugging the water. You know, I even voted against the fluoride thing, you know, and I know lots of people who supported that. And, you know, I just think the whole, you know, Portland's water tastes delicious, by the way. Like, you grew up here, you maybe understand that, but like, you go travel around the world, you will not find a city with better tasting water coming out of their faucet than Portland, Oregon. Like, that is my true belief.
Bend, Oregon, better.
Bend,
better.
But Bend's not really a city. Bend is like an outdoor town.
It's like a little
Portland is a city, and
true.
The water just tastes like, for tap water, it's amazing. Like, let's not fool ourselves. Like, you go to Los Angeles, the tap water is basically undrinkable there. Like, people drink bottled water pretty much. And a lot of cities in America, people do. You go to New York City, the tap water is actually drinkable. It's fine, but it's not really that good. It doesn't taste very good. And that's just the general state of things all across America, except for in Portland. Like, that, I swear, that's my experience.
Don't they have kind of special water, though? Like, when a Fury, the ramen place, came here?
Yeah.
They, like, came because
right.
of because the water?
Of the, it's the Bull Run water supply is, like, very, like, pretty clean, I guess, and, you know, comes off the snowpack, and we're lucky being in here in Portland.
But maybe we'd appreciate it more if it was microdosed with a little LSD.
Yeah, maybe if we microdosed it.
Does it taste like anything?
It's J-Hops who's been texting. Oh, sorry. Because your area code isn't unusual, then I don't necessarily know it's J-Hops until you say it. J-Hop says, no, New York has excellent water. I never used the water filter before I moved here. You think New York City water is better than Portland water? I would disagree with you. I think New York City has good water for a city, and I drink it like out of the tap, but it's not like amazing. It's not Portland water. I would disagree. I think because you're a New Yorker, you're like especially drawn to it. A text that says, I don't see how it makes sense to put fluoride in your stomach if it's for your teeth. It only makes sense if you give it to people as mouthwash. Yeah, that's a good point. But I think there was something about fluoride pills. Somehow it's like actually you ingest it. I don't know.
I know. I honestly wish I had more fluoride as a kid. My teeth are just terrible. They're always just crumbling.
But you had fluoride in your water.
No, because I grew up here, so no fluoride.
Portland's never had fluoride in the water?
No. And I actually think sometimes they're like, we know you're from this place.
I thought that we voted to take it out of the water. We just voted to never put it in.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. J-Hop says, actually, Arthur, I'm amazed at how many times you got it was me just from the phone number in the past. Sometimes I do recognize it, but tonight I didn't. How are you doing, J-Hops? Are you in the radio? J-Hops drives a radio cab, sometimes during this show. Did you make it to the radio cab? This text says, when I moved from Portland to New York, I didn't notice the difference in the water. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. It was something that I noticed because I've been traveling recently, and I just noticed, like, some places you go, the bottled water isn't even good, you know? Like, it just doesn't even the water you get in a bottle doesn't even taste good. Like, I miss, like, the good old, just the friggin' Portland tap water. I just think it tastes good. Jendabones texting, says, Well, I liked your McMinnville story last week too, Emily, and I totally support you turning against the audience if they turn against you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wish I turned against them more.
Yeah, and I'm not for dosing the water. There are way too many vulnerable people that should never dose. Yes. I agree. Ms. Pizza Johnny said, I did miss your text somehow. Okay, so we were, Ms. Pizza Johnny was, we were texting about this toad venom drug that she has taken. And she was describing it. So this is, and she described it as sort of giving her mind a reset. And so this is, I was asking for more details about that. And she said sort of the reset was the after part of the high. The actual high of the drug is different. I fully died and was in complete darkness, or at least I perceived myself as dying. Then I pulled through into space that was full of all the world's energy, and it was beautiful. For a moment, the world made perfect sense, and it felt amazing. Definitely one of the most intense things I've ever done. It was scary, but it was awesome. I'm so glad I did it, but I probably would never do it again. Yeah, that's exactly what Max said, was that he was like, I was like, well, so would you do it again? He was like, no, I don't think I would ever do it again. But like, so it's an experience that you have that is scary, but you were really happy about having it and you don't want to do it again.
I think that's what takes me out of it. Not wanting to do it again. I feel like anything that I enjoy, I'm like, I'd like to do that again, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's hard for me to imagine something that you would do that you're like, that was awesome, but I'm glad I just did it once and never do it again. I mean, I guess I sort of feel that way about, I once did like a tandem skydive, like, and it was fun. It was cool. It was an interesting experience, but I don't think I would do it again. Like, I wasn't like, I need to do it again. I'm definitely not going to learn how to do it by myself unless for some reason I needed to. I don't know. But
just in case. Wait,
yeah.
Was that the only time you ever did skydiving?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I just had some friends were like, they were interested in doing it. And so we like drove out into the desert and this company, like you do training for like an hour and a half or something. You're basically just strapped to somebody else who jumps off.
Did you ever think, what if that person wants to kill themselves right now? That's what I would be like, they might.
It was a totally, like, it wasn't a very empowering experience, honestly, because you're just like a sack of potatoes, like, strapped to this person. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like if you did anything, the most effect you could have on that experience was to screw it up in some way, like, to, like, cause a problem, like, You were just trying not to, like, get in the way. So it wasn't like I felt like I'd accomplished something. Mm-hmm. But I understand if you do it yourself, maybe that feels different.
When you jumped initially, were you like, I could die right now? Did you think that at all? Or were you like, oh, I'm just here. This is cool.
Yeah, I just kind of put myself in the mindset. I was just like, there's nothing I can do. I have no control over this situation. I'm going to, like, sort of take it all in. And it was, like, super loud. It was like this, like, wind rushing at me, and I tried to just look down at the ground and just think like, wow, I'm going to be on that ground soon, like I'm headed towards that, and you know it, and then it was over very quickly. Then like you're standing on the ground and you look up and there's the plane and you're like, wow, I was there. But I didn't feel like I'd accomplished anything because I didn't. I just was strapped to this other person.
It's just like funny to see it, think of grown-ups attached to each other just falling from planes.
Yeah.
I mean, not in a with parachutes.
I don't know if that's even a good example of like a good comparison to what you're talking about with the drugs. There's like a very boisterous scene outside. We're if you've just tuned in, you don't know what you're listening to. We are broadcasting live from the back porch of the Slingshot Lounge in beautiful Southeast Portland. This show is called Sex, Drugs, and Basketball, and there's people also, they're playing a board game. That's what they're doing. Right? Can you see it?
I don't feel like they don't look as loud as they.
They're rolling the dice and playing a game. Okay, well, anyways, let me read some more texts. J-Hop says, I'm not in the cab yet. Okay, I guess you start late, don't you? He doesn't start. He drives like the overnight shift on his cabs, and then he comes home and feeds the crows in the morning. Says Portland. This is a text. It says Portland. The water from the tap will give you a WAP. A WAP. That's a good one. This says, I climbed Mount Hood and would never do it again. Oh yeah, that's probably a good example of, you know, but was it like, I'm just trying to picture like this drug you do that is terrifying, but you're like, I'm so glad I did it. Max was describing, I'm remembering this other thing, that he did it with like a group of people, like, and they had guides who were around them. So they all went into this house, and it was kind of a nondescript house. I think it was like in St. Louis. Huh. And then, they went down in the basement and they smoked this drug. And like, it was like really like intense and crazy. And people were around them and they sort of like lay down and then you like wake up. And then they asked if you wanted to do it again. And Max said he did it again. So he did do it twice, but it was like in the same thing. And he had this like, he said it was like this, I'm trying to remember how he described it. But then he told me there was another person who was in the group who, that you did it one at a time. It wasn't like everyone did it at once. Like you did it one person at a time. And this person took it and then just lay back and was like, lay back. And then like, I guess, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes later woke up and was like convinced that he had spent that time crawling around the room and grabbing people's faces and like sort of like looking at them and grabbing their faces. But all he had done was lay down on the floor.
That sounds terrifying. Absolutely not.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I gotta get Max to come on the show and talk about this. Okay. This is, okay, Who is this texter? Sam and Dave is texting. Okay, he says, well, mushrooms will show you when you don't need to do them anymore, in my experience. Though I know it doesn't go that way for everyone. The amazing experiences wouldn't repeat themselves, so that was that. Yeah, that's kind of true about mushrooms will show you when you don't need to do them anymore, in my experience. I mean, that is kind of true. If you take mushrooms, you kind of are like, you don't, it's not like cocaine where you like, some people especially are like, they want to just like keep doing it because like they're chasing that high. Like mushrooms are not like that. You're kind of like, oh, I think I've had enough of that. But are you saying when you don't need to do them anymore ever in your life? Is that what you're saying? Or are you just saying when you don't need to do them that particular trip? Pizza Johnny says, you're a tall dude. So now I'm picturing a much smaller guy strapped to your back just before you land. He taps you on the shoulder, and since this one's all on, and says this one, wait, I feel like this is a voice to text thing. Taps you on the shoulder and says, this one's all on you, my feet can't touch the ground. Yeah, that wasn't my fault. I do often mangle Pizza Johnny's text, but the voice to text didn't work. So let me read it correctly. It says, you're a tall dude, so now I'm picturing a much smaller guy strapped to your back. Just before you land, he taps you on the shoulder and says, this one's all on you, my feet can't touch the ground. Actually, that happened to, he told me explicitly that I had to like lift up my feet because, so that didn't happen. Like my feet didn't hit the ground first. He wanted his feet to hit the ground. So I did lift up my feet and that didn't happen. But my friend Pete, who was also doing it, he was strapped to the person who was like guiding him. It cut off his circulation on his legs. So his feet like fell asleep and went numb. And so he kind of forgot, or he didn't lift up his legs the way he was supposed to. And so when they landed, like his feet hit first and then they just like kind of tumbled and became this big like tangled up mess between like the parachute and the instructor. And I remember Pete like getting up, like he kind of like unstrapped himself and he got up and his face was all white because the blood had been cut off from him. And he was like, that was awesome. And his like instructor guy who he'd been tethered to was like still rolling around on the ground, like tangled in the parachute. But that didn't happen to me, but you're right, Pizza Johnny. If you're taller, it is an issue.
So the guy strapped you was smaller than you.
He was.
Just checking.
He was, but I lifted up my feet so his feet hit first. My friend Pete did not do that. Salvia, are you asking about that? Have I done it? Or this texter says, Salvia, ? I don't think I know who this texter is. I haven't done Salvia. People have been talking about it. Do you know what Salvia is?
I remember when people were like, they did Salvia and they went crazy, right? Wasn't there like a period of time?
It was legal. Yeah, I don't know too much about it. If people want to talk about it, text in 971-220-5979. That's 971-220-5979. Keep the text coming. We're going to take one more break. We haven't talked about sex at all this show, but we've gotten so into drugs. Mm-hmm. Miss Pizza Johnny says, it's terrifying but beautiful. We did it one at a time as well. Yeah, this sounds really similar. Terrifying but beautiful. I mean,
I don't like that they do it one at a time either. It's like, what, you all watch each other? Like, have this weird moment? I don't know. Maybe the buildup would be too much for me. This is not selling me. It's the terrifying. If terrifying wasn't the word we were using, I might feel differently.
Terrifying but beautiful. Pizza Johnny says, thanks for translating. I did use voice to text and just fired it off without editing. Plus, you've been hitting that giant bong you sent a picture of. Sam and Dave says, maybe if I go through a big life transition, I'll take a big mushroom dose again, but I don't have the urge to right now. Yeah, I haven't taken mushrooms in a long time either, but I don't feel like I would never want to do them again. I just, but it's true. When I was younger, there was a period of time when I was like really interested in taking mushrooms a lot. I was really into listening to the Allman Brothers and taking mushrooms. the Salvia person was saying, what was the drug from St. Louis? It was toad venom. They were all taking toad venom. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say toad venom? It was that extracted from the glands of a certain toad in South America. And people like are saying it really. Yeah, that's what we were talking about. Ms. Pizza Johnny says, I've also done salvia. I smoke the leaves, not the concentrate. The leaves don't often work on people, but they worked on me. Doing toad venom one at a time is a safety thing.
That makes it scarier, actually. That's what I thought. I thought it was a safety thing.
This is Liesl, I believe, says, hero's journey, facing down your mortality. I did a breathing exercise that felt like too close to death and would not do it again. Other people had transformative experiences. I want my transformation nice and easy, not sudden or terrifying. Maybe he really did see God. When Ariana saw God, when Arjuna saw God, it was beautiful and terrifying. Who's Arjuna? I feel like that's a character from.
I feel like something one of us should have known.
Yeah. This person who was asking about the drug from St. Louis says DMT. Yeah, but it's a different, like, variation of DMT. Like, Ms. Pizza Johnny was saying that it's called 5-MeO-DMT, which is, like, so it's not the same as, like, the DMT that, like, people kind of smoke a little more recreationally, I think. Gendabones says, if they're doing it one at a time, how long is the main high lasting? I think it's, I believe it was just like 20 minutes or so, but I'm actually not even sure. Ms. Pizza Johnny could probably answer that question for you. Ms. Pizza Johnny says, it is pronounced 5-MeO-DMT. 5-MeO-DMT. I was saying MeO-DMT. 5-MeO-DMT. Okay. Is that correct? How long is the high? Can you answer us that question? In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to play one more song, and then we're going to come back and wrap this show up. So this is a band that is playing at the High Limit Room tomorrow night. It's called the Rat Utopia Experiment, which I haven't heard of them, but they do have like a following. They're playing at the High Limit Room, and I liked when I played their music, I was kind of into it. So this is a song called Bleed Me Dry by the Rat Utopia Experiment.
Yeah.
X-Ray FM is proudly supported by our friends at the Portland Mercury. The current city guide issue is available at over 500 locations in the PDX metro area and everywhere online at portlandmercury.com.
Hello, hello, hello. We are back with Sex, Drugs, and Basketball. We're in our final segment of the show. It's been a fun, kind of interesting, quiet night. Emily Hempston, the only one who showed up tonight.
Only one.
It's good to see you though. Like, you never know. Sometimes I'll plan ahead and have a guest come, but usually when I do the show from the Slingshot Lounge, some random group of people show up. But tonight thank you for coming.
Yeah, it was great.
It's fun to have you here. Anyways, we've only got a few more minutes left in the show. We've been talking about doing toad venom, as a drug, and, Liesl texting in, she brought up the name Arjuna, and she said that Arjuna, the warrior from Bhagavad Gita, and sees God for a moment, but it's a terrifying and beautiful, and he can't handle it. What's Bhagavad Gita? Like, I feel like, am I supposed to know what that is? Do you know what that is?
I mean, it's so familiar, but I don't know exactly where from. But I've heard that before.
Arjuna is a name that I've heard before, and I feel like that. I understand it feels like sort of a biblical name or something. But you're saying this is from like a different religion or some sort of set of fables or something. I don't know what Bhagavad Gita is. Sorry, tell me what it is. I'm curious. Ms. Pizza Johnny is answering our question about 5-MeO-DMT, which is toad venom. Said that when we were asking how long the high lasts, the situation varies, but 20 minutes sounds right. From beginning high to when I felt normalish human again was about 40 minutes. Half of that was the strongest part, dying energy, etc. The other part was figuring out what was going on and getting my thoughts and motor skills back. The reset of learning everything again went on for a few months. I had bad dream issues for about a year after taking it. But you still recommend this experience. Like, you said it was a positive experience. Like, bad. Yeah, that's how Max had described it. He was clearly still kind of grappling with the experience because, he said the same thing, was that like it had affected him. Like, he was still kind of like processing the high that he had felt or whatever it was.
I feel like so, bad dreams for a year feels like, yeah, a real con against this drug.
There's all sorts of chaos going on out here. I don't know if you can hear it all. We're on the back porch of the Slingshot Lounge. There's a rowdy board game going on, like, across the way. Were you here when we talked to the people who were playing Magic the Gathering? Yeah, that was good. This is a different game. This isn't Magic the Gathering. It's something, but every once in a while they sort of whoop up and cheer.
I hope it's sorry. I hope they're just saying sorry or boggle.
This text, it says, Salvia is a lubed up slip and slide trip right into hell. Oh, jeez. That doesn't sound good. J-Hop sent a Google Doc about Bhagavad Gita. It's kind of like, I need my glasses to read this, explaining what this is.
I think it's Gita. I think
Bhagavad Gita.
Right?
The Gita is the synthesis of various strands of Indian religious thought, including the Vedic concept of Dharma. Okay. The Bhagavad Gita is often referred to as the Gita, is a Hindu scripture likely composed in the 2nd or 1st century BCE, which forms part of the epic poem I feel like I'll mispronounce it. Okay. Okay. Well, now I understand. I feel like I should have known more. It's a Hindu text. Okay. I just wasn't aware of it. I apologize. My religious studies background is weak. It's the book that the Hare Krishnas follow. Oh, interesting, says Janda Bones. Ms. Pizza Johnny says, I don't think this experience is for everyone. Oh, in terms of whether you recommend it. Yeah, but I guess more, I shouldn't have said recommend. I sort of said, but you found it to be a positive experience. You were glad you did it. Even after having dream issues for about a year after taking it. I mean, come on. Arjuna, then Liesl says, it's a Hindu scripture. It gets us thinking about meaning and why we do what we do and what happens when facing impossible situations and decisions. Arjuna is a warrior prince who quote, has to go to war and recognizes his relatives in the enemy force and talks it out with his buddy Krishna. But, spoiler, Krishna is secretly God. Okay. Okay, I just didn't know that about this story. So this is the Hare Krishna story? And then Ms. Pizza Johnny says, absolutely, it was a positive experience. And then J-Hop's talking about the Bhagavad Gita. I think it's the source material for all the casual Eastern concepts that third, fourth generation hippie types throw around. Okay. Well, it sounded like Liesl had more knowledge of that than just being a hippie type, but maybe she's a hippie type too. Now I understand. Now I do feel a little bit educated. Like I kind of learned, you know, I learned something. Emily.
Yes.
Any final thoughts as we enter the final minutes of the show? The show's we're wrapping up.
I can't believe it's already over. Come and see me on August 4th. Keep promoting that over and over?
August 4th at Helium
Comedy Club.
Yeah. Put it on your calendars. Let's all go. Let's all propel Emily into the second round.
Yeah. Don't buy tickets in advance yet, though, because you can either get 50% off if you call and say my name at the box office, or I have some comps. So I don't know. Oh. Find me on the internet and I can give some of those up.
Okay. All right. Well, this has been a fun show. Thank you to everyone who texted in. And thank you, Emily Hempson, for coming. Please, let's support her. It's coming up not too far from now. And, if you're looking for archives of the show, I think they'll be up later. We're just having some technical issues with the moving of the studio, but please follow us on Instagram. If you have Instagram, go, look for Sex, Drugs, and Basketball Radio Show. Someone sent a picture of their calendar with Emily's comedy in the, is that Liesl, I think? Thank you for doing that. Okay. One more text coming in. J-Hop says, no disrespect to Liesl, but I can picture my college roommate on the last few days I've ever seen him sitting and reading that book and becoming even more intellectual. Yeah, I mean, you had your own associations with it. I think you and Liesl would get along, actually, if you ever met. Or maybe you did meet, actually. I don't know. Okay. Thank you for tuning into the show, and stay tuned for Beats, Bass, and Beyond. Follow us on Instagram. Please, really, we only have like 130 followers, and it's a great way to find out if I'm going to be here at the Slingshot Lounge or not. And we'll be back. I'll be back live from here next week if you want to come say hi. I'll be at the Slingshot Lounge next week. Bye.